So you know, I'm not drinking alcohol at the moment.
I do. Well done.
We went to a pub last week and we took part in a pub quiz.
Oh yeah. How'd you do?
Yeah, we won.
Really?
Yeah.
How irritating for the regulars.
I know, exactly. I felt quite embarrassed about it, really. But you know, I couldn't help showing off.
Hang on, was it a Bible quiz?
No,
Okay, all
not
right.
a Bible question to be seen.
Okay. Well done.
But anyway, won, and what? Guess what the prize was?
Don't know.
It was a free round at the bar.
Life
I mean,
can be cruel, can't
it was the worst time for me to get that. Had to get drinks for my wife and my daughter, and I had a alcohol-free cider.
still a drink, and the alcohol-free ciders are lovely. Stop complaining and stop making God angry so you could start drinking again.
Welcome everybody to episode, I have no idea, hang on, episode 304 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. Well, I hadn't looked at the top of it. I mean, I try not to look at what you write anyway. My name's Nick Page, and there is Joe Davis.
Hello.
Hello.
Episode 304, listeners. Not that anyone really cares. It's only us that care that it's episode 304. It's too many.
And well, no, not only too many, but actually too long, because what did we celebrate this week?
Yes, it was our birthday. You had to remind me.
It was our 8th anniversary. Yes, I have to remind you every year, don't I? I get no flowers, no card, nothing.
Do you feel I take you for granted?
I tell you, the magic has gone out of this romance, I'll be honest. Yeah, 8 years.
8 years is too long for any podcast.
A lot's happened in that time, hasn't it, actually? When you look back, the world has changed quite a bit.
And we have changed quite a bit in that time.
Well, I don't know. I still look as fresh and young as I did back then. Anyway, we should get on. I don't think there's any church notices, are there?
I could give a church notice, but it'll just upset you. You know how funny you get when I announce stuff that we haven't talked to properly. Anyway, listeners, we're planning on doing a home group.
No, we're not.
For a
no,
short
we're not.
Season.
No,
just
we're
a
not.
Short
I'm going to bongo that out now.
Well, don't bongo it. No.
I'm going to bongo out what you just said. You can't announce things when we haven't actually planned them. This is ridiculous.
Who would like, this is just a question... Who would like a mid-faith to belong to a mid-faith crisis home group, a big group? I'm just asking. Just put your hands up now. Have a show of hands and stay tuned coming next year. That's all I'm saying now.
You can't wait, can you? I bet you're awful at Christmas. I bet you unwrap everything on Christmas.
Well, when I used to get presents, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that might happen. Might never happen. Who knows? Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. Do you know what? I met with another lovely listener and we had a roast dinner together last Sunday. So that was lovely. Yeah. So hi to Rich. That was great to see you in Poole. Well, I didn't meet him in Poole. He came from Poole. I came from Worthing and we met just the other side of Chichester. So that was lovely.
Okay.
Here's what happened this morning at 6:10. I know you were probably mid-prayer, but I was on my way to the gym, like you do. And the full moon was, it was like a surprise nooms moment. There were clouds around and everything. And then this beautiful, massive full moon appears. That was a great moment in a very busy day. I have to say, I'm not particularly busy at the moment, but this day has been very busy. And that was really just great.
Yeah, I think it's called a hunter's moon, isn't it, at the moment?
I'm not up on it.
I heard it on the radio.
Okay.
They said it was a hunter's moon. I don't know what that means.
No.
I just normally go outside and howl. That's what I normally do.
Well, thanks for doing that. I don't really have anything else much to report. I'm grateful to have had a busy day today, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Do you watch Gone Fishing?
Oh, yes, love it. Yes.
I was trying to think, why do I love Gone Fishing? Because nothing really much happens. They're just two blokes wittering about I don't know what. Half the time, they talk a lot about death and getting older. I can't think what it reminds me of. I can't put my finger on it. But there's something about that show I quite like.
Are you saying we're like that, only we don't even catch the fish?
Yeah. You know? How could we make that even less attractive?
We ought to explain to people who have no idea what this is. It's Mortimer and Whitehouse.
Yeah.
Gone fishing. So Bob Mortimer, Paul Whitehouse.
Comedians.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's classic British TV in a way. It's just gentle. Nothing happens.
No.
Bob Mortimer falls over quite a lot, and they have a dog. It's just great.
It's compelling viewing for reasons even I don't understand. Anyway, no, I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, slightly didn't know whether to celebrate the pub quiz or commiserate with myself. Yeah, I've been a bit down, but I mean, I'm reading an interesting book called The Power of Regret, which Claire insisted that I read.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting because it starts from the premise that, you know, the Edith Piaf song.
Je ne
regrette rien.
Yeah.
I can't do the R's, but anyway. Je ne regrette rien.
Would you like to sing a bar from it?
Something like that. Thank anyway. Yeah, you know, that I no regrets. I regret nothing. It starts with the premise that this is a terrible way to live.
Oh, really?
And that if you don't have regrets, you never learn anything, and you haven't actually, you know, you haven't actually been true to yourself. I'm interested to see what it's going to say, but I like that because I like people who sort of call out, you know, well-known sort of clichés.
Yes, yeah, that is your thing.
He starts with a load of people who've had no regrets tattooed on themselves, and some of whom have regretted having the tattoo done. So, you know, I'm interested to read that. I'd like to recommend a video.
Okay.
This is a wonderful, wonderful video. It's a talk by a man with a strange name. Cable Sasser is his name. And it's a talk at some kind of hipster conference. I don't know what it was. And I'm not going to say anything more than that, except it's one of the best talks I've ever seen. It's a wonderful narrative. It's got a tremendous sort of ending. And it's got a great message.
All right. Okay. How long is it and where can we watch it?
It's about 20 minutes long, 15 to 20 minutes long. And you can watch it. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay.
I'll send you a link.
And send me a link so I can put it on.
Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
I don't often recommend sort of talks on YouTube, but this, it's just the way he uses the PowerPoint. Everything's great about it.
Really. He says two things you've recommended recently, actually. So there was Nick Cave interview last week, and there's this.
Yeah, I'm full of recommendations these days.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah, look at me. Anyway, okay, I think that's about me. Oh, it's my daughter's birthday today.
It's Lily's birthday today.
It is, yeah.
I've wished her a happy birthday.
Have you? Oh, great.
Through the power of social media, admittedly, but...
And it was Martha's birthday yesterday, so...
It was.
You know...
Wished her a happy birthday.
It's all birthdays.
It is birthday season.
And life changes, doesn't it? Because in the old days, you'd throw them a party and make them a cake, and now I'm making cocktails.
Is that right?
You know, that's how things go. Really.
But what a great dad you are.
I'd like to think so. I haven't taught them anything useful, but I make a mean cocktail for them.
You're brilliant, Dad. There's no doubt about it. Okay, should we get on?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's do some feedback. And first up from Emma. And Emma wrote in and said this. She said lots of nice things about the podcast. I've deleted those. She says, here's something I've been thinking about recently. I'm part of a church that talks a lot about hearing from God and encourages the prophetic. I've never heard a clear voice that I definitely knew was God. I often get a gut feeling if I think about a decision while being mindful of God, which is my version of praying about it for a while. I have so many times felt pressure to hear something and said whatever came into my head, even though I thought it was likely just my own random thoughts. That feels like too much wishful thinking for me, though. So now I'm resolved to say nothing, if that's what I hear, and be unashamed in that. Perhaps it will help others to own up too. I think that having an expectation that God will do a certain thing causes us to interpret events in a certain way. So our theology can massively skew our spiritual experience. if I believe that God speaks to me all the time, then I may well interpret every thought or image that comes into my head as God speaking. Sounds like a recipe for disaster to me, but I can't deny that people do have words of knowledge and that sort of thing. In terms of prophecy for the future, I wonder if sometimes they are self-fulfilling. For example, if someone believes that God has said something will happen, they will be more likely to go for it with confidence, and therefore it would be more likely to happen. There are some situations around me at the moment where people say, God has called me to this, and other people may agree and have pictures to support it, etc. But then it doesn't happen. It can lead to a lot of hurt and discord. I heard Tim Mackie from the Bible Project talk about taking the Lord's name in vain, and he related it to using God told me as a sort of extra level of authority or a way to stop people feeling they can challenge you. I don't think it's healthy, but how can we approach prophecy and hearing from God in a healthy way, both individually and as a community? What a great question.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. Let me ask you first. Have you ever heard of a clear voice from God, do you think?
Well, yeah, I think I have. I suppose not like I can hear you now, but a very strong sense or intuition of, wow, that seemed to come from somewhere, and that could well have been God. I mean, I doubt it now, but at the time I was absolutely 100% clear God had spoken to me. Yeah, I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, similar. I think I've had... one time, I think, clearly in my life, when a sentence or an instruction or something came into my mind from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it literally changed my life. Since then, I'm not sure I've heard in that way. I believe I do hear from God, but I think you hear it in all kinds of different ways and perhaps much more collaboratively. I think with this email, the interesting thing is, well, what do you really mean by prophecy to start with?
Yeah,
because prophecy isn't just prediction. We get those muddled up.
Yeah,
you know, in the Old Testament, prophecy is speaking truth into a situation.
Yeah,
so often we just confuse the two. We just limit it to one thing, or words of knowledge. You could be being prophetic if you're speaking into a situation using things you know, in a way. You know, you could still do that. In the Old Testament, of course, as well, prophets were tested. They were graded.
Oh, really?
Well, exactly. They were, you know, there were punishments if you were found to be a false prophet. In other words, if you said things and they didn't happen, there was all kind. You could get a great big stone thrown at you, among other things. Well, I say among other things, among other stones, basically.
Yeah, right.
lots of them. And I think that is part of the problem with today's sort of prophecy, and it's a little too easy. You know, it carries no really no consequences if you don't get it right.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think people slip into it too easily. You know, I think it's so easy to say, I think God is saying this.
Yeah.
And you think, well, maybe we should just take it a little bit more seriously there.
I would never use that language now, would you?
I might, but I wouldn't use it in the way I used to use it, I think.
I'm more comfortable saying, I think wisdom might...
Yes,
might be this. Yes. I'd say, I'd couch it. I would never want to say that I could speak on behalf of, you know. But then again, I think once your theology moves this sense of, well, God is in me and God is in all things, then in that sense, of course, you could hear God, couldn't you? Because God is everywhere. So why isn't God in your mind?
Yes, and I think that's what I mean by hearing from God now. I think I've grown to believe much more in collaboration. Much more in the use and collection of wisdom. You know, I wrote that article about precisely this kind of subject, really, which was to lose the idea that you have to necessarily sort of preface your wisdom with, I think God is saying this.
Yeah.
Because I think that sometimes that is just a way of reinforcing it, of saying,
yeah,
this is what I think, but I'm not confident enough to say this is what I think because I don't think I've got enough brain power to say that.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm going to give it a scriptural authority. So I liked what Emma, wasn't it, said about that, Tim Mackie, I think it was, you know, that maybe you're taking the Lord's name in vain by just putting words into his mouth,
as it were. Yeah, I quite agree.
I mean, having said all that, I just think that we shouldn't close our minds to it. people have said to things to me that I felt have been important and have come out of nowhere, and they may not have known. And I think similarly, people have had pictures for me. I know people have.
Yes, I've got one now.
Yeah, a few. That's, well, you keep it to yourself and don't draw it in crayon like you normally do. No, you know, and sometimes you go that picture, and sometimes it's really important. Sometimes it's really weird. I think the way to do that is to say, well, how do I respond to it? This picture, you know, how do I respond to it? Do I take it as truth? Does it mean something else entirely? Yeah. Does it almost a bit like holding up a sort of Rorschach test or something like that? Saying, what do I see in this? And take it to God that way rather than thinking, oh, it's inevitably, it means this X, Y, or Z.
Sure.
So finding out where you sense God in it is better, I think, really.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, if anyone comes to me and says, I think God, you know, my cynical barrier goes straight up. I think the issue for me is never to be so cynical that you're actually thinking that they can't hear God or that they haven't heard God. When you get so cynical that you've absolutely ruled out that possibility, I think I've lost the plot a little bit, because you're saying, oh, you're limiting what God can do.
Yeah.
And surely I'm in no position to do that.
Well, maybe then you're saying we should be generous with our receptiveness. We don't have to turn it off. We don't have to dismiss it out of hand. We should allow the message to be said to us, but sift it ourselves, I suppose.
Yes. I think so. Weigh it, I believe, was the term we used to say.
We're going to weigh that prophecy.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think so. I'm sure I remember weighing it. I was like, well, how heavy is it?
Did you have a set of scales for it? Yeah, the
prophecy. Fetch the prophecy scales. See how heavy this one is.
We're back to the fishing, you know, you'd hold it out like a big trout. You'd say, look at the size of this prophecy. Look at what I've just landed. It's amazing. And now let's put it back in the river and never mention it again.
Yes, you're listening to Gone Fishing with Nick and Joe. Right. Anyway, thank you, Emma. I'm glad we solved that.
Yes, indeed.
As always. Now, look, we had this in from a beloved listener, Mim, and she said, this is shared with permission. So, dear Joe and Nick, thank you for partnering with The Divine this week. She said, it's been a tough week. I resigned my membership from church last week. It's been more difficult and emotional than I expected. Today is my day off and I've cried a lot, grieving for my marriage, and I decided to walk and listen to MFC. Partway through, as Sean was talking about breathing and being present and mindful, the podcast just stopped. I'm assuming this is because of reception in the area where she was. So just at the same time, a flock of geese flew over, honking loudly. I breathed and noticed them, noticed the stream burbling, my feet sliding in the mud, the smell of log burners in the cottages and the sound of tractors in the field. A while later, it restarted and his mindfulness prayer played just as I arrived at an old Puritan chapel. So I sat on the step and prayed it with the cows lying in the field and the autumnal trees around. I walked the rest without headphones, hearing the birds and leaves. I went through a field of sheep and all the sheep herded to me to say hello. It reminded me that we're all connected, all of nature, joined together. I don't know how it fits into Jesus in the Bible, but it's high nooms and wonderful peace. And yes, still sadness, but that's okay. I'm sad with the divine here too. Thank you. And that's from Mim.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, amazing. And amazing to meet, to have the nooms in the midst of all that sadness.
Well, you know, I think that these states are holy ground in a way. Mm. I think lots of things could be holy ground, not just places, but conditions we find ourselves in. We don't necessarily feel that at the time, but maybe it's because we are more receptive to those moments. But isn't this a lovely moment? Again, who knows? Is it a God incidence? Is it whatever it is? You know, but it's a lovely gift, I think.
Yeah.
And I would want to say, Mim, look, you know, I really feel for you, because I think I feel in a similar place in a way at the moment, not the same situation, obviously. You know, I think it's okay to grieve for times that have gone, actually.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, we don't just grieve for people, we sometimes grieve for stages of life that have gone. I came to realise this sort of this week, really. As you know, we moved a while back. And I've found it quite difficult since then. And I think it's not to do with leaving the place I was or missing that as such. It's missing the person that I was in that place. You know, it's grieving for a part of my life that is now finished.
Yeah.
That's gone. You know, that's the whole sort of fatherhood bit and all that, who I was in that. You know, it's just changed. It's just different.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Sean last week talked about, you know, be a person.
Yeah, that was really powerful, wasn't it? Yeah.
Really powerful. But sometimes we're not even the same person that we were. And we feel sad about that, you know. And it's unsettling because, you know, that was the person I was and now I'm not that person. So what kind of person am I? But it's, I think there's new people, there's new life all the time. So there's new things to discover. You know, life will come back. But, you know, it's a very precious moment, this, I think, this in between.
Yeah, we talked about this around Easter, haven't we? This idea of death and resurrection sort of being a almost a cyclical nature, that there's, you know, that we are going to experience many deaths in our lifetime, but also we're going to experience resurrection life in our lifetime. Sometimes it's all going in a swirl and perhaps all on at the same time and not very linear. But I think it's really helpful to think in those times. And I also think, you know, when we've shared these more powerful emails with people, you know, I think I also want to say to Mim, thank you for writing in with that. And thank you for saying we could share it, because you know, this could be a numinous moment for someone else who's going through, you know, the end of a marriage or just facing, you know, these kind of really heavy issues that life does throw at us, sometimes through no fault of our own, or grieving or whatever it is. And to realise and to affirm that this is still a holy moment. This is still a sacred moment. Sacred moments don't have to be happy and all about the praise and praising him on the timbrel and the dance and the tambourine and whatever else we praise him on. Sometimes being in a holy moment looks like tears falling down our cheeks, and that's okay.
Absolutely, yeah. The other thing that occurred to me is just, again, what Sean talked about last week, you know, that we are limited in sometimes, or I don't think our podcast is, but I think sometimes our theology is limited in what we think God speaks through. You know, if we go back to that previous email, you know, the prophetic voice of God might come to us through nature, through this world, through something else entirely. We might hear from God in that way. I always think the sort of medieval world had a better way of looking at nature in a way, you know, because they believed God created everything.
Yeah.
And because they told all these amazing stories about the way that animals operated, some of which were true, many of which weren't, you know, everything had a symbolic meaning.
Okay.
So they saw God in all of nature, really. Their job was to uncover what nature meant. So, for example, you know, sometimes you're going to church, you'll see a symbol of a pelican feeding their chicks. Well, the pelican was a symbol of Christ for the medieval mind, because they believed that the pelican pecked its own breast and fed its chicks from its blood in that same way that Christ's blood feed. You know, it was all very medieval. Okay. But the point is, they just saw nature as a way of hearing from God, as a way of understanding things. They saw it as all linked. I always found that quite helpful in a way, I think. So we can hear in all kinds of ways as well.
Christ is a pelican. Like it.
Well, he is in medieval iconography, yes.
You don't need to say this to me. Christ is in all things, so definitely in a pelican. Love a pelican. Anyway, moving on. And these emails do sort of all connect together in a way. So thank you, Mim, for that. We'll just do this one more. Okay, so stick with it. This is longer, but well worth it, I think. I will say this to our listeners. Thank you for those of you who do manage to keep it pithy, because it just means we can get through more, and that's fun. But sometimes they're a bit longer, and then we can't get it through. So either we edit them, or we just do one or two emails. So here is David, and he says this. Dear Joe, love all you do and really appreciate the last two episodes. Nick's honesty was beautiful. Please send him my love. David sends his love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, David. I can do honesty. Consistency and integrity, I have more trouble with.
Yes.
But anyway, I appreciate it.
Okay, so we're going to go through the headings in this, and I kind of like it. So first heading, praying for a parking space. Okay, he said, I love your idea of seeing the Holy Spirit as being present and bringing to the forefront moments we need to pay attention to. I'd also like to suggest that perhaps the Holy Spirit also gives us wisdom as to how to act. With this in mind, I think it's time to pay attention again to that well-discussed mid-faith crisis parking space question. He says, like you, I've laughed at the absurdity of the idea of praying for a parking space. But on reflection, I can see that your new insights on the Holy Spirit idea may give credence to praying for a parking space. Can I suggest that there are at least five levels or ways that this prayer can be answered? Increased planning, increased peace, increased awareness, spiritual intuition, and finally, moving cars around. Okay, so just stay with it. Okay. The first three of these seem almost normal and hardly require supernatural God, but they all make sense of us praying attention. Increased planning. What if I pray before I leave? Lord, please help me be present. Help me to plan today well. Let me research parking in the area before I leave. Let me leave in good time. These are all factors under my control and I can see results if I follow them. Increased peace. Praying for peace as I begin my search for a parking space is an excellent idea. If I'm anxious, it's likely that I will miss spaces that are there in front of me. If I'm present, aware and at peace, then that will bring calm and better visibility. Increased awareness. Praying for heightened awareness has to help. Just being present and noticing that couple returning to their car will pay dividends. You can call it supernatural or just better smarts. That's good, isn't it? I like that. And then spiritual intuition. So far, nothing too supernatural, but praying for heightened spiritual intuition is the next level. This prayer would go something like, Lord, I'm at this junction. Do I turn left or right? I'm asking God to find me an existing space. I think I can believe God for that. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And then the final one, moving cars around. The next level I call moving cars around, and I think it's this level that I've scoffed at, is asking God to do something like ask another person to return to their car 2 minutes early so I can arrive just as they depart. Now, I'm not going to say this can't happen, but it's certainly a stretch. But the point of my reflection is that I don't need God to move cars around to get me a space. It can all happen with just me and God in a very natural way with the first four explanations, simply by paying attention and being present. Love from David.
Gosh.
So he's really dismissing his last point. But what I think I like about this is that it's like we said with the first thing, he's not being so cynical as to close every door on it. And we've talked a lot about an interventionist God. And, you know, I happen to think this is not how the universe works, just in my experience. You know, I don't think God has ever or will ever move a car around. But, of course, I'm open to evidence to the contrary, really. certainly not when I prayed for a parking space. But then again, you know, I am anointed to park. It's a big thing in my family. So,
is it?
You know,
is
this
it?
Isn't.
Do you have that? Do you have the gift of parking?
I have the spiritual gift of parking. It's just
I
a
didn't
thing.
Know there was
oh
one.
Yeah, it's been there all my life. It's incredible. In fact, you know, I very often have to do the driving because the others can't be relied upon to have a parking space.
But I never noticed it in Paul's list. That's the key thing.
No, I know.
Actually, the spiritual know. Gift of parking is very important. Why did nobody tell me this?
Anyway, what I really liked about this is that he's sort of bringing the emphasis around and he's linking it to Sean Lambert on mindfulness and everything. He's saying that there's going to be more chances of parking if we are more mindful people because we're just paying attention more. And that's what I was taking from it.
Well, I think I like the way that it builds up in sort of
mystical
levels, as it were.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It starts with very much sort of common sense. Just do your research, really. You know, help me to plan, Lord. Help me to research my parking before I go there, which I often do. You never bother then, presumably, as you've got the gift. You never think, where am I going to park?
Never done it in my life, no.
I can't believe that. That's so irresponsible.
Well, you just don't trust Jesus, do you?
I just don't have that depth. I don't have that depth.
Exactly.
You know, yes, I think that's the kind of prayers that when people haven't done their homework, or where people haven't done their revision, you know, Lord, yeah, help me in this exam. And you're, yeah, going, well, Lord's going to, yeah, go, well, no. You know what? No. But then it sort of goes up the piece, you know, there's the sort of awareness that you're worrying about it. And then, you know, you have to be at peace and be relaxed about it. And then what we talked about in the last few weeks about awareness, increased awareness and attention. It's the last two that I think where it gets quite interesting. So there's that thing about spiritual intuition. Do I go left or right? And
yeah,
I could see God helping in that moment. I could see that being more often. Let's be honest. If you're omnipresent, you should be able to see where the parking spaces are and let me know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's not a case of having created them as such, but at least you could alert me to their visibility, you know.
Yes.
But I think that's it. That's interesting. That's an interesting one. And maybe not in parking, but I could adapt it to other things more easily. Yeah, and then the final one, the changing. Well, I don't think when people say, you know, oh, God provided me a parking space, they think that literally, like that parking game you used to play, he's actually picked the cars up and moved them.
Right.
I think they do mean that somehow he's manoeuvred people's minds so that they just leave at the right moment and that it suddenly becomes available. I don't think he's done that anyway. So, you know, I don't, this is why, I suppose when we think about this problem, part of it is the trivial nature of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like God provided me a parking space, but there's a whole load of healing and peace, and you know,
can't do anything about Gaza at the moment. Sorry about that, but I have intervened here.
But level four of the car park, there's a space just by the exit. You're fine.
Yeah.
But then again, the cynical bit is to say that, I suppose. Yeah. The more open bit, the more generous bit is to say, well, if you feel blessed by that, that's wonderful. You know,
yeah.
If you feel thankful for that, that's great. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
See, I do believe in an interventionist God.
Yeah.
I just don't believe the intervention happens quite the way sometimes I used to believe it.
Okay. We'll say a bit more about that then. So does God order things? Does God change things because you've prayed for them? And what is an acceptable level of prayer? Can I pray for good weather on my birthday? So asking God to change the weather system.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Well, I think that's unlikely. I think, do I believe in it? Well, the thing is, I work with a lot of people who believe absolutely in it, you know, and who have evidences of it, who have testimonies about God's actual intervention. Okay. And who tell remarkable stories of things just falling into place that you go, wow, that's amazing. Right. So I don't want to rule that out, and these people are way more holy than I hope to be. So I am not going to second guess that. I'm not going to question that. I personally have seen it a few times, and I still pray for it. I still want God to intervene in situations where I can't see humanly how it's going to be solved. So I'm willing to keep that open.
Yes. I mean, I think what I liked about what David was saying is he's not shut a door, has he? He's just saying, look, this makes sense, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense, but can we leave the door open a bit to it? You know, this totally mystical level five. And I think that's where I have some sympathy with him. Look, you know, for those that don't know this podcast, maybe you're listening for the first time. Listen, we're here because we still want to follow Jesus. We're here because we think Jesus makes sense. And actually, the world would be a better place if we did all follow Jesus. So that's what we're about. We're not people being cynical about Christian faith or just dismissing it. We're trying to find a way through that sort of makes half sense to us even. That would be good. So I think what I like about this, it speaks to the way we believe what we believe. So I don't really believe in an interventionist God, but I'm open to believing in it. When I say that, I'm not saying it with that aggression. I don't believe in an interventionist. Yeah. What a load of rubbish that is. No. And I understand that some people do. And that for them, that there is no God if there's not an interventionist God. So I don't want to damage their faith. I'm just trying to make sense of the reality as I perceive it through my human senses. But there are things I still can't explain. So one of the great answers to prayer in my life, I can remember we were, you know, living by faith, which basically means we were living on, you know, without a guaranteed salary for many years. And I can remember the car went wrong. And, you know, when cars go wrong, there's, you know, it's never like £50 exactly, £60 exactly. Well, it's normally £73.45, you know, with that or what, you know.
Yeah.
I can remember once the car going wrong. We couldn't afford it, you know, doing that desperate, God, we need a car. We can't live without this car. I can't get to work. I can't do anything. I have no money. I can't afford this. And the amount in cash being posted anonymously through the letterbox, and we hadn't told anyone, and they couldn't possibly have known, unless it was the person at the garage, who, as far as I know, was not a Christian and wanted to make money for a living. So, you know, like, nobody knew the amount, but it was the exact amount. So my question is, if I don't believe in an interventionist God, then how do I explain someone having the intuition to put in an odd amount of money?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't pence, it was pounds. It was like, I don't know, £63 or something like, you know, something. But, you know, there was a degree of accuracy with that. How am I going to explain what happened there? This is the best I've got so far. God does connect us together. And one of the earlier emails talked about connection. It was Mims, wasn't it? Just saying the sense of connection she felt with nature there. Well, we're all a part of nature. We are connected. Can we sometimes have that sense of need? You know, those mystical times you just know you've got to ring someone who you haven't spoken to for years, but you sense it's the right thing to do, and you ring them and it was exactly the right thing to do. They desperately needed that call at just that moment. I'm very much open to this idea of God has connected us all together and we can intuit sometimes one another's needs even before we've articulated them.
Yeah, so I think the approach is to, as you say, keep the door ajar. You know, not to be credulous in a way, only because we're not in that space anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have to be honest to ourselves and go, well, I can't view it the same way as I used to view it.
No.
That's just impossible for me. So I don't think you should try and put on a show like that.
No.
But I always want to be open to the miraculous.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not, I think I'm cutting myself adrift from a whole swathe, not only of Christian history, but of Christian experience with my Christian family around the world.
Well, it's back to what you said, I think, a bit earlier about mourning and grieving the loss of who you were in that stage of life. And you were, and I sort of longed to the simplicity of belief that I used to have. But, yeah, that was about 25 Joes ago. And, you know, I've been through a number of death and resurrections, and I am a different person. I'm a different person. It's 8 years since we started the podcast. I'm a very different person to I was 8 years ago. And I think, you know, your friends are those that allow for you to morph and grow and change and don't want to keep dragging you back to a previous version of yourself. You know, sometimes I can feel like that with certain family members that I don't see very often, except very occasionally. And then you go back to how you used to, you sort of revert. And it's uncomfortable. And I don't really like it because, you know, that's the Joe they think they know. But I'm not that Joe anymore. I'm a different Joe now. And you're a different Nick now. And all our listeners, you know, we're growing and morphing all the time. We're expanding and changing. So, yeah, we just got to try and make sense of it as we see it in our current incarnation.
Maybe the thread going all through this is attentiveness and awareness and being open to hearing from God, however that happens. And maybe being open to taking the odd risk or two. You know, if you do hear something or you do sense something, to not say, oh, no, that was the old me who would have paid attention to that. The new me knows better. You know, I don't think we do know better.
No.
I think we're just confused in a different way these days. You know, I think collaboration for me now is much more watchword than intervention.
But that's your growing wisdom, to be working hand in hand with God. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do think I see you getting a bit wiser as you're going. It's not that you're saying, oh, what I used to believe is rubbish and now what I believe is... I don't see that. I just see that sense of, oh, yeah, no, now you're weighing things a bit more and you're paying a bit more attention and you're being more generous to yourself and what you believed and kind about that. And that's enabling you to be generous and kind to others and their belief systems. And you're not being at all dismissive of others who hold different views to you about interventionist gods and how God works. And I wouldn't want to be dismissive either. I'm just saying this is how I see reality at the moment. May change.
And this is why I think it's very important that we find communities, if we can, that allow these different views to coexist.
Hmm.
You know, I think that's the other thing is you might get into a very uncomfortable position where you think because your theology has changed, you're not actually allowed to have that in the community you're in.
Yeah.
And that's a real shame when that happens because
it
cuts you away from one way of keeping open to it.
Yes.
You know, by spending time with people who believe different things or believe certain things more strongly perhaps than I do, it keeps me open to it. It keeps me aware of it, really.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a shame when that is taken away from us.
Yeah.
Anyway, really interesting. Thank you so much to everybody who's contributed. I hear a voice, I sense a voice, and it's I've got a word for you, and that word is dinner. I don't know if that means anything to
Let
you.
Let me just weigh that. Yes.
Now, have you weighed it? Put it on the scales. What is it coming in at?
A good 8-ounce steak would be lovely for a steak.
Okay, great.
That's wisdom.
So I want to speak that into your life, Joe.
Thank you. I feel liberated.
Yeah, good. So we should wrap this up. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for contributing. Yes, do send your emails to... Yeah,
joe@midfaithcrisis.org. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. How do you see things now? Is it the same? Is it morphed on? Where are you on the whole, you know, car parking thing?
Where are you on the car parking thing? And pith is always rewarded.
It is.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
So thank you very much for listening. Thanks to all who support the podcast. That's absolutely wonderful. And we're just settling in for our next 8 years now, I suppose.
Oh, dear.